Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the...
And as snow slammed Washington, Congress convening to certify President-elect Donald Trump's election victory on the fourth anniversary of the January 6th attack. And Vice President Kamala Harris, what she told us before overseeing the certification after her loss.
One of the most important pillars of our democracy is that there will be a peaceful transfer of power.
Vice President Harris certifies the results of the 2024 election, a vastly different scene than 4 years ago.
Vice President Kamala Harris has presided over the peaceful transfer of power, formally certifying her own defeat and President-elect Donald Trump's victory.
So it was a giant non-event, which is exactly what you would expect. There was really, you know, nothing to be excited about, which is kind of how it's supposed to go.
Received 300. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
You know what I think was the big difference is he moved to Florida. You know, that's just too soon. Come on now. Oh, man. So they asked her, everybody was running this audio of what they asked Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, or Madam President. Why is she Madam President? Senate. Anyway, you know, before she went in to certify the election.
People take away from today.
Democracy must be upheld by the people.
Democracy must be upheld by the people. Absolutely. And then right after the certification.
Today was obviously a very important day, and it was about what should be the norm and what the American people should be able to take for granted, which is that one of the most important pillars of our democracy is that there will be a peaceful transfer of power. And today, America's democracy stood.
Amen. Absolutely. And by the way, I think for people who are Trump supporters, there's a funny thing about human nature, okay, human psychology. And the funny thing about human psychology is that if you and somebody else disagree vehemently about something, the tendency, if you've kind of gotten yourself into an oppositional frame of mind against a person, the tendency is that when that person subsequently says something that's completely true, like there's no controversy in it whatsoever, there's still a part of you that, because you're so oppositional to that person or so polarized, sometimes we talk about this as being, you know, polarization or the polarization effect, that when that person says sky is blue and you're like, mom, I, you know, a little gray, right? You know, there's, you know, there, the polarization effect or polarity orientation, which is also kind of personality orientation, but when Kamala Harris says this is the way it should be, this is the norm, this is what we should expect, peaceful transition of power is the basis of our system, you know, any of those things, your response to that should be right. Right. And if there's any part of you that's like, well, or you don't know, or what if there's fraud, or be worried. That's an unhealthy part of your psychology. Be quicker to vehemently, adamantly, enthusiastically agree with true things said by people you hate. True things, because it's the true thing that you should always be looking for, no matter whose mouth it comes out of. And even for all of the newscasts talking about a different scene from 4 years ago, you should agree with that. 4 years ago was disgusting. 4 years ago was embarrassing. 4 years ago was atrocious. And watching a mob, some of whom were just present, some of whom were just protesting, some of whom entered the Capitol and were basically sightseeing, some of whom engaged in genuinely criminal, violent, dangerous, even insurrectionist kinds of rioting behavior. There's some to all of that. No matter what else you might say about that day, that episode in American history was awful. Every American should agree. Even, especially those of us who still have questions about the election. Those of us who think they weren't all settled and answered. Many of them were avoided. Even those of you who think the election was stolen. Even those of you who think the election there was fraud involved. Even you should think that was an atrocious day. You follow? So just be careful how you react to things because it betrays something in you that isn't right. And this is incredibly routine. This is incredibly boring. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. And so I don't think that, you know, Kamala Harris doesn't get any special praise. She did her job. I think, honestly, if anybody gets special praise, it'd be somebody like Pence doing his job in the middle of all of the horrid chaos, right? So just, you know, a note on what is supposed to be and otherwise was an incredibly boring day yesterday. 517 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Big winter storm, as you may have heard. It dropped, what, 30 degrees from the beginning of the show yesterday to the end of the show yesterday from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m.?
Yes, it did.
Crazy. And now it's right around the freezing mark all over. You know, if you didn't, you know, wrap up your plants, too late now. You know, or if you didn't drip your pipes, I mean, you should have already. It's going to start to get a little bit warmer. But it's going to be pretty rough the next couple of days. These are the next couple of days where it's like, don't leave your pets out. And, you know, people, you should be concerned about them. And the shelters are open and they're operating on their emergency basis and all that. There is, you know, because of all of the flight cancellations around the country, there have been questions, natural questions about that. There's nothing on the arrivals board at Pensacola that is problematic. On the departures board, the one flight to Reagan National that's supposed to take place at 6:20 this morning has been canceled, but everything else is scheduled to be on time. So just kind of be aware that there's no big deal other than if you're flying to D.C., right? That's the only issue. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And when you need more comfort for yourself, try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors.
Use as directed. VapoStick for use ages 4 and up. VapoShower Max use for adults only.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. Better. Stronger. Faster.
I left a good job in the city, working for the
the park going in at Muskogee Road and Highway 29 at the old golf course. It's going to be known as IP Paper Park, and we've got a grand opening that's ribbon cutting and those things scheduled for January 30th. Although a lot of it is done, there's still quite a bit of work to be done, to be completed. They're installing the disc golf course right now. But certainly all of the board and staff would be welcome to that ribbon cutting in Cantonment on January 30th.
January 30th, opening of the park that IP has given some of the land for, or I guess is leasing the land actually to the county for a relatively nominal fee. That's Stephen Berry, Commissioner District 5, talking about that. Also, you remember Willie Carter Jr.? That's the, let's just say, older guy who drives the bus for Escambia County and drove all those, you know, miles and miles, what, 3 million miles, if I remember correctly, and has never had an accident and joked around the one time about how he's, you know, they say he drives slow, but, hey, slow is no accidents, right? He was selected as the Employee of the Month last month.
My life has been good, and what more can I ask for? I'm 80 years old now, and my health is very good. God has been over me for many, many years, and I want to continue doing what I'm doing today. Being a transit operator, I have learned a whole lot about people. Some people are good, some people are bad, but at the end, it's going to be okay.
I love listening to him. He's fantastic. Meanwhile, the other counties had been hearing the item, particularly Okaloosa and Santa Rosa. I don't know if Walton has heard it yet. I think Walton has, but I'm not sure. I apologize. The issue about the slightly increased, the change order, basically, to the District 1 medical examiner's office. That was something that came up at the county commission meeting. And Commissioner Berry, as has been expressed by many other people, was unhappy about the increase in the cost, but not so unhappy that he tried to torpedo it at this point. Remember, he's in but the funeral directors are in a ongoing legal matter where Deanna Oleski is suing them for defamation. He has not yet been named as a defendant. He has been named as a co-conspirator. Remember, Jeff Bergosh was the one who publicized that stuff, and Stephen Berry is the one who organized the meeting. And anyway, long backstory just to kind of bring you up to speed in case you seem to forget these things. But here's what he said about the increase in the cost.
Well, we were promised, well, that we'll never exceed this number regardless. Clearly, it's going to happen. I just want to voice my displeasure with the present, with the good faith effort that this board moved forward after a lot of discussion, but you know, well, the good faith often only goes one way up here, so I understand that. So we'll allocate their additional monies. So
the good faith only goes one way. Oh, you mean for constructing the medical facility that was part of the promise to her when you hired her, that then you did everything you could to stop from happening, and then you organized a meeting with funeral directors to tell things that were false about her and her operation. The goodwill only goes one way? Is that what you're really telling me now?
I will tell you that I was very clear to Dan and Dr. Oleski that don't come back to the well, and I think Santa Rosa made that clear as well, because I think a lot of people felt like we wanted to go in good spirit, but, you know,
You've made that comment this time about it. That comment, I assure you, was made by your previous board that myself and my friend sat on with the other members. The first time it came forward, it was, don't come back to the well. This is a lot more money than we had ever envisioned, because it was a lot more than the original estimate.
Yeah.
So we're at our second, don't come back for more money. But it, you know.
I have been generous more than once with you all, so don't come back to me again, which is, I think, fair. That's actually what Colton Wright had said and other commissioners had said as well in other counties.
I get it. I mean, we see change orders just like they said every time. I understand the complexity in this. And I think if we didn't move forward with this, it'd look really bad. And I don't think it's in where we need to go for this project. But I need someone to make a motion or...
I'll make a motion that we move forward.
I'll second it.
All right, please vote. Motion passes 5-0.
Yeah, despite all of the hand wringing and the, you know, bitterness and the, you know, well, we have done everything we're supposed to do in our direction from this board, you know. well, at least it passed. That's what I know. At least it passed. So that facility is, in fact, getting built. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Welcome back, David.
Well, thank you very much and good morning. It's great to be here bright and early. Not even bright yet, but this morning.
It's great to be here, period.
Yeah, there we go.
We don't have to emphasize the time. That's kind of like, you know, giveth with the one hand, take away with the other. The time of day always detracts from the greatness of it.
That is fair. That is fair. Well, Friday, Andrew, remains the day that President-elect Trump is going to be sentenced in the criminal conviction in the New York hush money case. A judge rejected Trump's bid to delay that sentencing. So that'll happen again Friday, just 10 days before inauguration. The former leader of the Proud Boys asking President-elect Trump for a January 6th Capitol riot pardon. The attorney for Enrique Tarrio claims his client is being targeted for political views. He's currently serving a 22-year sentence after being convicted of seditious conspiracy in that case.
What is your read of the president-elect's promise to pardon the January 6th convict? Do you read that he's going to pardon everybody, or do you read that he's going to pardon some, or perhaps even most?
I think it'll be most. I would have to think that it would depend on, you know, what they did specifically.
Same. And I'll say this in optimism. I really hope it's only most. I really hope it's not all.
I mean,
because there are clearly some who deserve to be in prison.
Like, absolutely. Some of the agitators and the ones that really, you know, caused things.
Yes. But there are others with whom I have questions as well. And so I'm waiting to see. But, you know, time will tell. Sorry, you had a third story.
Well, I did have one small bit of news. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has
never heard of him.
I believe he's the governor of the 51st state.
Oh, Justin Trudeau.
There you go.
Okay.
He's resigning as leader of the Liberal Party in Canada, but apparently will remain prime minister until they elect a new leader.
Okay. All right. So he's not gone yet. He's sort of like a legislator who's running for another office who's still going to file bills. And sorry, that's a bad, that's a mean comparison. But I'll take it back. Undo. No. So he's still the prime minister until they select another one.
Yes.
Okay. So he's still the governor of the 51st state for now.
For now. Yeah. But he's one foot out the door.
All right. C'est bon. thanks. It's a teeny tiny little French expression. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Let's see. Somebody texts in. Trump supporter and very thankful for the peaceful transition of power yesterday. May we all move forward toward to create a more perfect union. Amen to that. Let's see. Check. I don't know what that is. Let's see. And somebody says when it comes to the pardons for the January 6th people, most is what this person expects. Also, a Trump supporter. Most never should have spent a day. Yeah, I think that's accurate. But I will also tell you, and you know, you'll hear from me that I'm adamant about things that I think I really know something about. When I don't feel like I know a lot, or when I don't know a lot about a subject, I try to be less adamant, okay? And on the matter of the individual cases around January 6th, I'll just tell you, I have not paid a lot of attention to it. I just haven't. You'd say, well, you should. Okay, well, I mean, there's a lot of things I should pay attention to. You know, I have this much capacity, and every January 6th trial that I pay attention to is one less Milton City Council wastewater treatment plant dispute that I can't follow. So, you know, it's either or. Anyway, so I am not the highest knowledgeable person about the January 6th cases. Based on what I know of them, again, not following all that closely, and based on the event itself, it just seems like overzealous prosecution for many and absolutely deserved prosecution for at least some. Much like the participants, you know, there were completely innocuous people who went to watch Trump speak and then took a protest march to the Capitol. And that's it. We have people from Pensacola who were there on that day that I've talked to. And that was their participation, you know, and then they left. And then there are a whole other extreme of people. Not that many, but it doesn't matter. You know, everybody gets what they deserve. Or should get what they deserve if they deserve it. 529 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next car, trying to decide where to go or what to do, I recommend Frontier Motors. And one of the things that I would recommend that you do is, you know, you hear Dave Ramsey talking about them. You hear me talking about them. But if you're paying attention on the bumpers of all kinds of cars in this area, other people are talking about them too, because you have bumper stickers and license plate frames for Frontier. And one of the things I recommend you is just kind of look. Like when you're at a red light, just put your eyeball on the bumpers of the other cars and see if you don't see a Frontier, you know, vinyl or whatever. And what'll happen is you might see one today. Tomorrow, if you're doing it again, you might see two or three. By the end of the week, you're like, did anybody buy a car from anybody else? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Buffalo on Beverly Parkway.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President-elect Trump wants to hit the ground running January 20th.
President Trump will be back in office in less than 2 weeks, and he is expected to meet with Senate Republicans tomorrow in Washington to work out the party's reconciliation strategy and discuss getting his MAGA agenda through.
Fox's Brooke Singman reporting. Trump's choice for Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, meets today with the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's Mark Warner. The commander-in-chief becomes the consoler-in-chief this time.
My wife Jill and I are here to stand with you, to grieve with you, to pray with you, to let you know you are not alone.
President Biden in New Orleans, where 14 people died in that New Year's Day terror attack. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is a very cold start to the morning, 31 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola today. An Escambia County man's been arrested for the fatal shooting on Tommy Street last week. 19-year-old Taylan Darby Burnett is charged with second-degree murder, tampering with evidence, and firing a weapon. Investigators say Burnett shot a 48-year-old victim at that property after an argument, then fled the scene. The victim was taken to the hospital where they died. Burnett was located in Santa Rosa County and apparently had an altercation with deputies there when they tried to question him about the homicide. He also faces charges of loitering and resisting arrest as a result of that confrontation. Burnett was transferred from Santa Rosa to Escambia County yesterday. He's currently being held without bond. Escambia deputies searching for a person that robbed an Escambia County Dollar General store. That happened yesterday on the 500 block of Beverly Parkway. Investigators say the suspect entered the store with a mask and a gun and demanded that the cashier open the drawer. They then took the money from the register and fled from the rear of the store. So far, there is no word on suspects in the case. Nobody was injured during the robbery. Escambia County Sheriff took the oath of office and gave the state of the agency address yesterday at the Marcus Point Baptist Church. There was a big crowd there, about 200. The sheriff highlighted the drop in crime in Escambia County, his battle against fentanyl and drugs in our communities, and also talked about training programs that they've instituted.
So it's one thing to be able to train talent, but wouldn't it be nice if we can attract talent, but then we can also develop that talent? And if you do that, talent is vitally important to the success of any organization. And I certainly believe that we're in the process of developing that talent, but also attracting that talent at levels we've never seen before.
And Sheriff Simmons also tells News Radio that one of his big goals here in the next several years is to continue utilizing additional technology such as cameras and drones. And he says that can all interface with their new real-time crime center at the sheriff's office. He also discussed their training facilities, such as their new firearms training facilities, during that speech yesterday. The Fort Pickens campground at the Gulf Islands National Seashore is still closed. They closed earlier this week and told campers they had to be out. The all other Florida sections of the park do remain open for day use only. Early voting for the primary in the District 1 congressional race begins here in just a few weeks. 10 Republicans are vying for the chance to move to the special election on April 1st. Mail-in ballots have already been sent out in Escambia County. Early voting dates run Saturday, January 18th through Saturday, January 25th from 9 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. in Santa Rosa County. Of course, it's the same dates, but 8:30 in the morning till 4:30 p.m. Special primary election day itself is January 28th. A St. Petersburg doctor is facing child sex charges. The U.S. Department of Justice announced yesterday that Stephen Andrew Leedy had been arrested and indicted. He's accused of producing child sexual abuse material and coercing or enticing a minor to engage in sexual activity. Prosecutors say they found 10 victims around the country, including one who died over 3 years ago. Investigators say the 13-year-old hung herself in a manner consistent with instructions that Leedy gave her. The 59-year-old could get life in prison on those charges. 535 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. A very cold start to your day with temperatures in the mid-40s for your afternoon high. Plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 27 degrees. For Wednesday, nice sunny skies with a high near 52. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 28 degrees. On Thursday, sunny skies, high near 51 and a low near 40 degrees. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it's 31 in Pensacola, 33 in Milton, 31 in Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Now let's get our pre-opening market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NVIDIA has revealed new chips for desktop and laptop PCs that use the same Blackwell architecture underpinning the company's fastest AI processors for data centers. NVIDIA says the RTX 50 series chips will support a feature called DLSS4 that uses AI to boost gaming frame rates. Sharon Regional Medical Center in Pennsylvania has officially closed. Shuttering Sharon Regional, which dates back 125 years, means the end of around-the-clock availability of emergency heart catheterization care, which has been shown to be the most effective treatment for heart attacks that would otherwise be fatal. The service is not available elsewhere in Mercer County. McDonald's is the latest corporation to announce it is unwinding some of its diversity initiatives. Specifically, the company will no longer set targets for achieving diverse representation in senior roles. McDonald's is also ditching a program it created to encourage its suppliers to make their own diversity and inclusion pledges. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
yesterday. Had an opportunity, as we typically do, on the first Monday of the month to talk with our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Happy New Year. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great, doing great. I see you're a multimedia star now, not just on the radio, but they have put a whole feature that has pictures of you farming in the PNJ with an article about the loss of farmland in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, I guess it was a slow news week.
Well, it is the new year, you know, sometimes. But they had taken pictures, obviously, back when you were harvesting cotton back in, what, probably October or something like that. But the article is all about preserving.
It was early October.
Yeah. The article is all about preserving farmland, something you and I have talked many, many times about. The basic problem, right, is if, you know, you can rent out your land at a couple $1,000 an acre to a farmer, to somebody like you who farms it, or you can sell it to a developer for $15,000, $20,000 an acre, well, math is math, right?
Yeah, it's tough. It's one of the most difficult positions anyone can be in. You know, the deal is, a farmer can no longer control his destiny. He can't afford to buy the land for the prices that the developer can afford to pay for the land. So we're in a contest against developers typically, and there's just no way, you know, they're going to make way more money out of that land than we would ever make out of it in a lifetime of farming it. So it's a difficult position to be in, and people just need to be aware, you know, that it is a problem. We obviously have to have land to be able to continue farming. And I've said it many, many times, believe me when I say you don't want us to have to depend on another country for our food and fiber. And if we don't kind of change the trajectory of where we're headed, that's what's going to end up happening before it's all said and done. And it's strictly because we can't continue to own enough land to be able to farm and produce enough products to clothe and feed everyone.
And it's one of these challenges where, and I think you even said it in the article, was that, you know, a lot of people have this idea like, well, if I farm so many acres, I must be rich. No, you farm it. You don't own it. You know, pay land rent to the people who own it. But the problem is, you know, economically for them, they make more money by, you know, selling to somebody else, a developer or something like that is the challenge. And there's been, you know, proposals, everything from like land trusts to kind of conservation easements where, you know, governments or, you know, other people might invest, nonprofits might pay for various limitations on how land can be used, subsequent owners and things like that. It's something I know has been worked on a lot, both at the state and the federal level. Are we, in your mind, any closer to getting a viable solution to make this problem better?
Those are some of the things that are being looked at and they're being worked on, and they are, I would say they're in their infancy in some ways, you know, they're starting to happen, but it's still very much a work in progress. You know, it's such a slippery slope because the deal is we have to protect our farmland, but at the same time, we don't want to tell people what they can and can't do with their land.
Amen.
You know, it's not fair if a farmer has, you know, acquired land over their career and then they get older and basically die and they leave it to their sons and daughters and they don't want to be farmers. It's not really fair for them to be stuck with it and can't do anything with it other than farm if that's not what they wanted to do. Or same way with a farmer. If he gets in trouble somewhere along the line, financially, and he needs to sell some land to be able to pay his debts or whatever, you know, he needs to be able to do that. So it's very, but at the same time, we don't need to be out there developing. I feel like we don't need to be out there developing prime farmland when there's some less desirable land over here that we could develop, if that makes sense. So I think we have to incentivize some of those things and really, really work to toward a solution that benefits everyone.
Yeah, I agree. All of those are the parameters, and right now we have a, you know, push for development in Northwest Florida that's really pushing in one direction on these problems. And, you know, once the land leaves rows and crops and becomes homes, you never unplant homes. And that's, you know, that's the basic.
Once you plant a home on it, it's done.
Yeah, you never get another crop out of that thing. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, I did want to ask you, first of all, it's January. The ground is hard. There's not a lot of rain, although yesterday was an exception. But you're not planting or harvesting right now. What are you doing with your time?
No, we have all of our cover crops planted now. So basically all the field work's done for a month or so. And so this is really our cleaning up and fixing everything that we tore up in the fall time of the year. A lot of mechanicing going on. And then a lot of just planning. You know, it's the time of the year that we have to get our operating loan for this coming year. December, January is that time frame. So that's something that's harder to do every year. And also, believe it or not, you know, it'll be planting time the middle of April or so.
Yeah.
And it's time to start ordering seeds. So that's one of the most important decisions a farmer makes every year is what type of crop is he going to plant where? And what seed is he going to use? What variety of seed? So those things are, you know, we'll be looking at data from the past years and from past trials, trying to decide what will do best on our land, looking at the commodity markets, trying, which is almost impossible to do now, trying to figure out what crop may potentially make us the most money this year, and then try to figure out that will work into our rotation that's needed. So there's a lot of planning and a lot of thinking that's going on right now. And like I say, it's time to place our orders because April will be here soon. And it takes time for them to come up with the seed and to get it treated and shipped in and all that. So there's a lot going on, even though you don't see us out in the field much.
I don't know, Ryan. I mean, you make it sound like it's hard, but like all you've got to know is over the course of the next 10 months, what's the weather going to be like? How hot's it going to be? How much is it going to rain or not? What are the costs of all the various inputs that you have to factor into? And then what's your end price going to be 10 months from now? It doesn't seem like it's that hard to figure out.
It's not. I'm really surprised there's not more farmers than there are.
And also figure out where you're going to get your money in an industry that routinely struggles to, you know, make ends meet and break even and, you know, depend on the kindness of strangers for basically everything that happens in your life. I don't know that it seems all that hard to me, but, you know, whatever. I just do radio.
There's really not much to it.
for those of you who do not have a sarcasm gene. 100% sarcasm. I saw an article, and I don't think you and I have had a chance to talk about this on the air, and I thought it was interesting. It was just because I come from the land of corn. I come from, you know, Illinois originally. And it was an article that talked about a new kind of corn that's being developed that's short instead of tall. It's only 5 feet tall instead of, what, I guess, like 7 or 8 feet tall. And it's highly resistant to wind because it's shorter. And you can plant it a little bit more densely because it has less sun blockage because it's not as tall. And I thought, oh, I should talk about this with Ryan. I know you do a lot of experimenting, you know, with corn. Corn's not a major crop for you, but you do a lot of experimenting with it. Is that something that you guys have been playing with? Do you know much about that? I'm just kind of curious your take on it. You're my expert, so I'm asking.
I have not done any trial work with that, but I think all the things that you just mentioned are real things that do make a difference in your final yield. You know, this part of the world, after a storm, there's no infrastructure here for corn. So basically we have to let our corn get field dry. We don't have a lot of dryers in our area and grain bins and things like that. So for us to sell it, we have to let it dry in the field, which makes it more susceptible to wind damage. So afternoon thunderstorm, you can have a beautiful crop. Afternoon thunderstorm come through, blow it all down on the ground, and lose half of it just in the afternoon type storm. So being more storm resistance is something that we look at in every trial we do, no matter what the crop is, because, you know, of the hurricanes and the afternoon storms that we have so often here. So that is something that's big. It's easier for it to translocate the nutrients through the plant, the moisture through the plant.
There's
a lot of things about it that make sense to me. So I would be interested in looking at it and trialing. I can tell you one time we did have a variety trial, and the ugliest, shortest-looking variety out there that you wouldn't have thought would have done anything won the whole trial.
Huh.
So maybe there's something to it.
Ugliest, shortest. The Andrew McKay variable? Is that what feel like that's what you're talking about.
Kind of like that.
Take that a little personally. I mean, you know, you're, what, 6'2"? So, you know, I just know who you're talking about here. last thing that we always like to end with, Ryan, do you have a farm fact for us this week, this month?
Well, you know, when I couldn't go to sleep last night, I was trying to think what farming fun fact I was going to use today. I said, you know, we never talk about livestock in Santa Rosa County.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I don't know that we've ever mentioned it. But I looked up the data this morning, and did you know that Santa Rosa County is home to right at 8,000 head of cattle?
Hmm. I see them when we're bicycling. I definitely see them around, but I wouldn't have even known where to guess at the number. 8,000 head of cattle.
Yep, 8,000. You know, it goes up and down, but that's kind of where it averages out at every year.
Well, that'll keep my family in hamburgers for about 3 weeks. So, okay, fair enough.
I'm good to go for about a week with that.
With your two boys. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. As always, Ryan, thank you for the time, but more importantly, thank you for doing what you do to educate people about farming and for actually doing the farming that, you know, makes peanuts and cotton for us, essential things that feed my kids and clothe them. I really appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you for having us on. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. 551 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a business, you have employees, you have benefits, you have HR, you have payroll to deal with, Torgerson Causey. They are really, really good at this here. Comprehensive employee benefits agency. And I know from experience, we've been using them here at News Radio for about 4 years in Cat Country for about 4 years. And what we had before was, you know, okay. And what we had when Torgerson Causey took over was just so much better in terms of responsiveness, in terms of choices among various for insurance, particularly for health insurance, but also dental, vision, life, disability, all of that. Just had better choices than we had ever had before. And I felt like, you know, they're not miracle workers, okay? They can't make the insurance marketplace produce things that it won't produce. But they definitely go out of their way to find the best options available for us so that within what exists, I know that we're, you know, having the best choices. And, you know, my wife is a very detail-oriented person. She was an industrial engineer by training before she retired to have our, you know, raise our family. And for her, if she gives you an approval, that's, like, very hard to get because she gets frustrated with a lot of, you know, insurance agents, you know, bankers, all that kind of stuff, because they don't have the detail-oriented mind that she has. And Reed at Torgerson Causey absolutely does and answers the questions and, oh, that's a good question. She's just side note. My wife is the kind of person that the insurance agents talk to and they're like, oh, that's a good observation. Or, oh, that's a good insight about their industry. You know, so when I say she's detail oriented and thoughtful and creative, I mean, you would expect that from my wife. But when she says Torgerson Causey is really good, they're really good. For more than 20 years, have been helping businesses like yours handle all of this stuff. 433-9996. Have them come in and do a no-obligation review of your programs or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
Father, am I lonely? Heavens, no.
Good morning, 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, cold, freezing all across the area right now. Man, and it is. I never really believe it until I step out of my car. Because I'm actually wearing today, it's my favorite very warm sweatshirt. This is a sweatshirt I could probably just about go skiing in. Like, no wind gets through this sweatshirt. And I got out of my car this morning and I had not put a coat on to go to work because, you know, I'm 23 feet from the door, right? You know? So I get out and I'm like, oh, mistake. I have made a terrible mistake today. You know, so I basically, it's one of those, well, do I take the time in the cold to put the coat on for the 23 feet or do I just grab the coat so I have it later when I'm exiting? No, just the latter. just brisk walk. It is very, very cold today. Very, very cold today. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Mistakes were definitely made.
Mistakes were made.
Well, hey, Andrew, do you remember that story? I think it was last week or the week before where
where
a body was found in the underbody of an airplane.
Oh, yeah, in the wheel well of the – I assumed it was the front wheels, but yeah, in the wheel well of the plane.
Yeah. Well, so apparently this has happened again in a JetBlue flight in Fort Lauderdale. The bodies of two people this time discovered in the landing gear of a JetBlue plane at the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. That discovery was made overnight in the landing gear compartment.
You said two people?
Two, yes, two. And there is no word so far on how they were able to access that compartment or any details about those victims. So I'm sure.
And I hate to ask the obvious question, but I'm assuming cause of death was hypoxia / freezing or some combination of having been in the plane at altitude in the wheel well, right?
I would assume so, yeah. It doesn't say here, but, I mean, you get up that high and...
Yeah, I mean, it yeah. just... I don't know. Wow. Okay. All right. I have nothing else to say about it. So.
It's very odd that would happen twice in such a short span of time.
Right.
This Friday remains the day President-elect Trump will be sentenced for a criminal conviction in his New York hush money case, a judge rejecting his bid to delay that sentencing. So that'll happen 10 days before the inauguration. And President Biden was in New Orleans last night. He said New Orleans defines strength and resilience. He was there last night. He called the attack a, quote, horrific attack of terrorism. He was at the St. Louis Cathedral in the French Quarter.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You actually watched that speech. It wasn't very long, which is, you know, kind of normal. You wouldn't think that it would be very long for him to give any kind of comments on that. But, you know, he did what I think he does very well, which is, you know, to be the consoler-in-chief and to be one of the things about doing consolation for people is to it's in psychology they call it, well, I don't know, my dad, who's a, you know, counselor, he always called it pacing, which is to figure out where people are coming from and then kind of get on their page and say the things they would say and be at their pace with something. And so, for example, because he has had such tragedy in his life, having lost, you know, very close members of his own family, right, through horrible tragedy, he's very good at being sad. He's very good at expressing empathy for people who have lost loved ones. I know he says it all the time, but when he says the, you know, empty chair at the kitchen table, I mean, he's not making that up. He lives that. So that genuinely is one of the things that he's quite good at. We'll talk more about that coming up. But, yeah, he did what he's supposed to do. And just, you know, for contrast, right? I mean, that's when I haven't ever heard Trump do that effectively. That's just not something he does that same way. And everybody has their different skills, their gifts, their capabilities, their sources of empathy, right? That's something Biden is, you know, very good at. You know, the incoming and former president is not good at that particularly. 437-1620. McDonald's is rolling back their DEI initiatives. Among many other companies who, that's their New Year's gift to us.